Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway Life Church. We're so glad that you've joined us and trust that this podcast will be a blessing to you.
Well, I think it's really exciting to be in God's house today, yeah? It's so good. It's so, so good. There's a good feeling in the air. Hey, before we continue with our service today, I would just like to welcome Meg and Jeff Quinn in the house. Welcome! You guys look fantastic. Here you are. We've been sending shout-outs online, praying for you, and we thank God for God's answers to prayer. Amen? So let's give the Lord a hand of thanks. So great to see you, Meg. So, so good. I also want to just welcome on site today also all the way from the beautiful community of Gindra, and that is Raya. Hello, Raya. Good to see you, sister. And it's great to have some new youth here, and it's so good. Welcome. Wow, wow, wow. It's all happening. Too many things to celebrate. And I also want to welcome all of those who are joining us online. And doesn't this, I know that Jess has already made mention of this, but this is looking fantastic, don't you think? All the greenery and stuff like that. I had a little bit of a dad moment with Jess during the week because, you know, she was sending me some progress photos. And each time she would send a photo, there would be a little bit more greenery. And she goes, you know, Pastor Jace, it's all a work in progress. And I said, yes, I know, it's growing, isn't it? Yes. So, and I think it'll just, so Jess and Cody, I want to say thank you as well, just for all of the great work. I know that you don't want any thanks. There you are. God bless you. You're doing fantastic. Well, I want to welcome you to part three today in our October series called Sermon on the Mount. And the feedback has been really fantastic to date, as people have been telling me that they're taking just a much closer look at the whole Sermon on the Mount, as they also realize that this is like the Kingdom Manifesto and the first time that Jesus really just steps up to the plate and begins to preach and to teach. Like, this is a big deal. And I really want all of us to understand, both on site and online, that this is a big deal. Like, if you think about it, like Old Testament prophecies had foretold of the one who would come and save, you know, mankind from themselves and from sin and ultimately from eternal destruction. Prophecies foretold of the promised Savior. And now the Sermon on the Mount is the genesis of when Jesus begins to publicly speak to his creation. It's a big, big deal. And so we see that Jesus is just really laying a foundation of all different kinds of kingdom principles and, you know, for successful Christian living and so forth. And as we begin part three today, I want to begin with a story. We're going to take a look at a particular subject within the Sermon of the Mount, on the Mount, but I want to begin with a little story. Once upon a time, there was a man who was a chronic worrier. He would worry about anything and everything. He worried about his appearance, the sound of his voice. He worried about large crowds, small crowds. He even worried why there were no crowds. In fact, he would get especially worried, even suspicious, if everything was going just a little bit too well. But then he would also worry about the fact that he probably thought that he worried a little bit too much. But then one day his friends saw him looking really happy, even whistling. They said, "Can that be our friend?" "No," they asked. "It can't be, but wait a minute, it is." And so they asked him, they said, "You look really, really happy. What happened?" He said, "I'm now paying a man to do all of my worrying for me." "You mean that you're not worried about anything anymore?" He said, "Nope. Whenever I'm inclined to worry, I just let him do it all for me." His friends replied and said, "Wow, that's amazing. How much does that cost you?" "It costs me," he said, $2,000 a week. His friends said exactly that. They said, whoa, that's a lot of money. How can you afford to pay for all of that? He said, I can't. But that's his worry. And some people might think that it'd be great if you could pay someone to do all your worrying for you. And in saying that, I know someone who'll do it for free. And it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, giving, another version says, casting all your worries and cares to God, for God cares about you. That's good news. You know, worrying is like driving a car with one foot on the accelerator and the other foot on the brake. Yep, the wheels are spinning, there's a lot of noise, there's the burning of rubber and smoke, but you're not going anywhere. The word worry comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word meaning to strangle or to choke. And even though I understand that we need to be attentive to all of life's concerns, we also need to be aware that being over attached and obsessively worrying chokes out the joy in our lives. In Mark chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus said, hear this now, Christian, hear this, but all too quickly, this is what Jesus says, but all too quickly, God's message is crowded out by the worries of this life. The lure of wealth and the desire for other things choke out the word so no fruit is produced. And this is one of the reasons why Christians don't grow, or it's one of the reasons why they stop growing. Hey, listen, they're nice people. They're not bad people, but they just don't produce Christian Christ-like fruit. Why is that? Well, Jesus has already told us. Number one, it's because of their desires for other things. Number two, their priorities are out of order, because you've got to be planted to produce fruit. Amen. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 92, be planted, I think it's Psalm 92, be planted in the house of the Lord. You've got to be planted. If you want to grow, if you want to produce fruit, you've got to be there. You've got to be there. If the tree wants to grow and produce fruit, it has to be there. It's got to be planted. It's got to be still, no matter what the season. You know, we have this, is a deciduous, not even sure if I said it right, is a deciduous tree the kind of tree that loses its leaves? Thank you so much. Back to the sermon. So we have this deciduous tree in our front yard. And I was noticing as I was driving out of the driveway one day how it had lost all its heavenly glory, right? It lost all of its leaves, but it still remained planted. It still remained planted. And you've got to be planted. Number three, and they also, it was also because of a lack of faith. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2 says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Let me stand up for a few moments. I like sitting down at the moment when I preach, but I like to stand up as well. So here's the deal. Every single one of you are hearing the word. You're in the same place, be it on site or online. We're all sharing this moment in time together. Everyone is hearing the words that I'm speaking. Seed is being cast on every single heart, on every single mind. But here's the deal. The reality is this. The word that is being preached today will profit some, but not others. And whose responsibility is that? Is it God's responsibility? Is it my responsibility? It doesn't really matter who's preaching God's word here today. You know, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter who's holding the gun. It could be an 80-year-old lady sitting in a rocking chair holding a gun, or a fit SAS soldier. The result is going to be the same when it comes to the teaching and the preaching of the gospel. It's not about the container, it's about the content. And so at the end of the day, This word will only profit those who hear the word and mix it with faith. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us not to worry. As he points us towards the birds of the air, he says, they neither sow seed nor harvest a crop and gather, yet God feeds them all. In my men's life group on Wednesday night, I talked about how God feeds the birds of the air. They neither, you know, sow seed or gather a harvest, yet they're being fed all the time. I said there were over 8,000 species of bird. I stand corrected, men's life group, those who were a part of my group. It is actually over 10,000 species of bird. And God feeds them all. But none of them sow a seed to plant a harvest. And let's turn now to Gateway Word of the Week. And Gateway Word of the Week is Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 27 and verses 33 to 34. And we read the words of Jesus. It's on the screen. It says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them all. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature or 1 minute to your life? And so today we're going to take a look at five keys to overcoming worry. And so Jesus gives us two word pictures in Matthew chapter 6. I've already talked about one of them. He says, hey, listen, look at the birds of the air. And so he goes on to tell us how God looks after them. Then he also references the lilies of the field and how King Solomon was not, you know, clothed more, you know, colorfully or majestically than one of these mountains that God clothes with the flowers. And so point number one today is actually found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. So just let me just pause for a moment, because what we have here, we've got what? We've got Jesus talking about not worrying. He says, I know that you're worried about what you're going to eat, your future, about your relationship, or whatever's on your mind right now. I know you're tempted to worry, but don't worry. And then, it's like a few verses later, he tells us the solution to not worrying. He gives us the next step, and he says in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and all of his ways, his righteousness, and all these things that you need shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, because he can see that we're worrying. So he's being repetitive. For tomorrow will worry about its own. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus is saying, follow me. Seek first the kingdom. Follow me and I will make you. That was a teaching that I brought at one of the leadership development nights when Jesus goes up to the disciples and he says, follow me. He says, I will make you fishers of men. He's talking about fishers of men, but he's saying, follow me, just follow me, and I will make you. Follow me, and I will make you. You know, I've been asked at times, hey, I've noticed that you've changed. What happened? This is like very particularly early in my Christian life. And it's like, I don't know what happened. I just followed him. I followed the miracle maker. And as I just attached myself and connected to the miracle maker, I can't explain what actually happened, but a miracle just took place and I changed. You know, when you hang out with the creator, the healer, the miracle maker, things have a way of just rubbing off on him and getting on you. And you really, we don't want to follow him just because of what he can give us. That's not the right motive. We follow him because we have a revelation that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is my Creator. He is my soon coming King. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The resurrected God. That's why we follow him. And I don't know how it happens. I don't know how it happens, but you just follow him. Follow me and I'll make you. How are you going to do that, God? Follow me and I'll make you. But God, can you just explain that to me in a very practical manner? Follow me and I will make you. The making is in the following. Seek first the kingdom. Be concerned, church. Church, on site and online. Be concerned, number one, about God's kingdom. Above everything else, by answering God's call. You might be saying, well, what's God's call? God's call is to love and serve him by loving and serving people. You can't separate the two. You can't separate the two. I love this. Catch this, guys. Catch this. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. I've given us three versions here today. It says, now concerning the kingdom, right? Seeking first the kingdom, it says, be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. That's the NIV version. The NLT says, give your complete attention to these matters. I love this. Throw yourself into your tasks so that everyone will see your progress. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them. Hey, better to immerse yourself in the things of the kingdom than immersing ourselves in our own ways. How's that working? It'll cost you to go God's way, and it'll cost you to go your way, but one way works, and one way has a better proven track record. Immerse yourself in them so that they may see your progress. It sounds like our theme for 2020, all in. Now listen, is it possible to not worry? Think about the thing that you're perhaps worried about right now. Is it possible to not worry? Well, of course it is. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have said, do not worry, right? And, so being worryless may not happen overnight, but we can all worry less. So how do we do that? Point number two. Stick with me as I just give point number two, because you might be a little bit surprised about my point number two. Point number two, schedule worry time. Schedule worry time. The fact of the matter is this, some of you are worrying all day anyway, so you may as well schedule a time to worry and get it out of the way. So I'm not encouraging anyone to worry because Jesus said, don't worry. But if you have to worry, if you're going to worry, then at least schedule a designated time and a place to worry. And preferably do it in the morning so that you can get it out of the way and get on with the rest of your day. And having worried, conclude your scheduled worried time with casting all your cares, sending all your prayers, walk out of the room, shut the door behind you, and make the rest of the day a worry-free zone. Get on with your day. And if worry wants to attach itself to you again, say, no, I've dealt with that today. It's a negative-free zone. It's a worry-free zone. Point number three today, question your worries. Here's some questions that you can ask yourself, and there are so many. But here are some questions. What evidence do you have that thought is true or real? Where's the evidence? If there's no evidence, move on. Is there a more positive, realistic, or more mature way of thinking about your situation? Is thinking about your worry actually going to help you achieve your goals and move you forward? Is that thought that you're having helpful to you or hurtful to you, your relationships, your family, your church, and your community? Is that thought, that worrying thought, is it helping or is it hurting? Is it contributing to who you are or is it robbing you of your vitality in life? Remember also to breathe. Inhale the new, exhale the old, and blow your troubles away. Point number four today. Flip the script. Flip the script. To flip the script actually means to reverse your existing position. Do something unexpected or revolutionary. You know, sometimes when, you know, I've been thinking too much about the wrong kinds of things and I've got to flip the script. And the way that I flip the script is to cut off the flow and just begin to move. You know, you've heard me say in times past that positive motion leads to positive emotion. And because it releases endorphins, which relieve tension and stress, and it boosts your energy. So flip the script. Get up and just begin to move. Whether you feel like it or not, do something. My last point today, point number 5, and then I'm going to invite Alyssa Grundy to come to bring us around our altar call. She's going to give someone the opportunity to respond to Jesus both on site and online today. Point number 5, write them down. Write down the worry. So what you do, you grab your pen, or you can write on your phone, your PC, whatever. And when an anxious or a worrying thought comes, simply take a brief note and then continue with your day. So just writing it down, you know, the things that you might begin to own that God does not want you to own, right? So people's salvation, you know, concerned about the eternal state of people, which is a good thing, but remember, only God can save a soul. I can't. We can't save a soul. Only God can do that as we partner with Him. Okay. People making unwise choices. The state of the world, finances, my mother. You know, that's a bit of a worry for us at the moment. And underline the Collingwood Football Club. So what you do, you know, you just write it down. You get this thought, you write it down, and you don't think about it anymore. Now you just get on with your day. And when you feel the time is right, this is what you do. So if you've got pen and paper, if you go in old school, you get that, you know, bit of paper, and you, right, rip it up. And then there's, you know, the second thing you do, so you do 3 things with something like this. You write it down, right, you look at it, you commit it to God, then you screw it all up, because when you give it to God, you got to give it to God, okay? There's no point in me actually writing this down saying, God, I give all of this to you. And then you keep carrying it around wherever you go, right? No. What you got to do, this is what you got to do. You got to take this course of action. You write it down, you screw it up, you cast your cares, you send your prayers, and this is what you do, right? This is what you do. Everyone online, on site, you take it and you, whoop, and you keep moving forward. That's what you do. Now, if you have faith, and if we trust in the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, that's what we'll continue to do. And if there was a point number 6 today, it would be to revisit point number 1, seek first the kingdom. Let's welcome Alyssa Grundy today. God bless you, Alyssa.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Gateway Life Church. For more information, please visit gatewaylifechurch.org.au. God bless and have a great day.